Blog Talk Radio.
Our Lord, grant us good in this world and good in the life to come keep us safe from the torment of the fire. As we keep our hands up high and scream for justice. Ferguson, rest in peace Mike Brown and all the young soldiers out there. God help us.
Some think it's time to save our future. Like we are that shot. We are that shot. Throwing up our hands, don't let them shoot us. Cause we are, we got. We are, we got. God ain't put us on the earth to get mad. It's murder. God ain't put us on the earth to get mad. It's murder. Don't put your weapon.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Terry Littlejohn, and my show is called Truth Heals. And I'm so happy to be back amongst you in the year 2015, you guys. Can you believe it? It is 2015. So I've been away for a couple of weeks enjoying the holidays with my family and hope that you guys have out there listening have been enjoying your holidays as well. And I hope many blessings are coming to you in this year of 2015. Well, we're still here, you guys, and we're still here talking and speaking, giving different views and opinions and truth about Ferguson. And it's been almost 5 months. It'll be 5 months on Friday since Michael Brown's life was taken from him in such a violent way when that officer, Kilson, shot his body up. And as you all know, there are no charges that have been made against this officer. And no justice has been served. Well, I'm going to continue to speak on this matter, including other matters as well, until justice is served in this country. You see, it's really interesting how the laws are supposedly made for everyone, but what it really boils down to is they're made for everyone else except for the ones who make the laws. Have you ever thought about that? It's interesting how the people who make the laws, they excuse themselves from these laws, but they expect everyone else to follow these laws. Why is that? And is this only done in America? Well, the world has been watching us for a while now, and a lot of attention has been brought because of the injustice that has been happening across the country. And I don't have to remind you of the things that happened in Ferguson, Ohio, New York, and other places. Those are just a few of the cities that has been happening in. But it's still injustice. And there's no justice that has been served. And until there's justice, we will continue. We will continue this revolution. We will continue the protesting. And we will continue to fight for justice, to fight to be accounted for, to fight for equal rights, to fight for equal job opportunity, to fight for equal pay opportunity, to fight for equal housing opportunity. And the list goes on and on and on. So tonight I'm going to tell you how I spent my time in Ferguson with my family for the holidays. And I'm going to explain to you the good and the ugly about my trip to Ferguson, which I call St. Louis. Now, Ferguson is a small town within St. Louis. It's still within the St. Louis County lines. And the main strip, which is the street called West Florissant, it runs through Ferguson north, south. It runs on South Florissant, and then West Florissant is the main strip where most of the news media shows you where Michael Brown was murdered off of that street. So I drive that street frequently when I'm out and about, you know, where my sister lives and my other family members live. So I have to take that street a lot to get to different places. So as I drive around, you know, I notice the people. Everybody's carrying on with their everyday, you know, things that they do. And it doesn't really seem to be bothering them that a lot of things that the media has reported, that this is a violent place and that the people don't care about the town, they burnt the town up. That's not what you see out here. You see people going on with their everyday lives, going in and out of the stores. You know, Christmas time brought a lot of people out in and out of the stores. everybody's out getting ready for the holidays, and even after the holidays, everybody's driving through. Different businesses are rebuilding. I saw a lot of businesses out there rebuilding their shops, you know, putting signs out, people in and out of the McDonald's that was near there, people in and out of the different stores, and even though they burnt that Quick Trip, there was another one not too far that was open. And so my sister and I, we frequent that Quick Trip. And just, you know, people are out and about. Even though every day there's still violence that goes throughout the city, maybe not in Ferguson, but there's still things that are happening. People are still living, you guys. It's not a bad place to live. It's not a scary place to live. As I drove through there, just looking at things and comparing what I saw to what the news actually reports and to what the cameras actually show you, their view is totally different from the real view that you get as you drive down that street, West Florissant. It's the same as it's always been to me. The only difference is there are buildings that are burnt down, and if you didn't know any better, you'd be like, well, what happened? Why is that building burnt down? Why is that building burnt down? But those who know, they understand. And right now, I believe the world knows. They saw the fires on the news, but they didn't see exactly where they were into perspective as to where the homes are. And so you drive down the street and you see these buildings, but you see more so the people going on with their lives. You see more so the businesses that are thriving, the businesses where the lot where the cameramen and all the networks had took over this in almost this entire parking lot where they camped out with their trucks and satellites every day. They're gone now. So now we can drive through that big brand new shopping mall that you drive through. There's a lot of stores in that mall, banks in that mall, just a lot of different businesses in that mall. You could just drive there with no problem, park your cars with no problem. So it's a peaceful setting when you think about what was there a couple of months ago. And then as I was driving through, I thought about, you know, everything I just said about how the media portrays it, and I was like, wow, this is an area that I've been driving through for years, and never once would I have thought that the world would show it in such a different kind of way. So I was kind of happy that when I drove through, and I was looking for a place to get my tires checked on my car. So I stopped at a couple of tire places along the way, and then I stopped at this one place. It was boarded up, but it had the murals painted on the wood, on the boards, and they were putting up a new garage door, and it was a tire place. So I thought, well, maybe they're open. Maybe they can help me. So as I drove up, someone came out, and they said, are you looking for someone? Are you seeing me looking for something? I was like, yeah, I need my tires checked. And he was a nice young man, and he worked there. He said, oh, we're open for business. We're just putting up new doors. And he was very, very cordial to me. He's very helpful. I don't even know the name of this business. It was some tire company, tires or something. And he was so nice, and he checked my tires, and he told me everything was fine. He said, we're still open for business. So people need to understand that. People are still thriving out there. They're still open for business. But you would think when you see this building and you see the boards on the windows and you see the graffiti that's painted on the boards, you'd be like, what is this? But they were there. They were open for business, and they were very, very kind to me. So I want the world to know that Ferguson still exists. It's 2015. The saga continues. The justice, it's still in the air. This is what the people want. So once I left the tire place, I felt very happy that my tires didn't need to be replaced. And then I drove down Canfield Drive, the street where Michael Brown was murdered. And as I approached the spot, there were a lot of stuffed animals, and a lot of things were placed at the site. They're like two different spots. One is around this pole, and the other one is the actual spot where he was gunned down. And there were things in the road, and they had a block there because, you know, someone about a month ago decided to run this memorial over. Why, I don't know, but the people won't allow it to stand in that way. They continue to rebuild it each and every time, and I'm very happy no matter what. Even though the elements are cold and rainy, this memorial still stands, and it will not go anywhere. And then engraved in the ground or sprayed in the ground, you'll see, rest in peace, Mike Brown. And as I drove down the street back to onto West Florissant, standing there, there was a post there that said justice. There was a lot of different things that talked about the justice that the people want. So Ferguson is still here, and the saga will continue until there is justice, even though the media is gone. Because, see, the media only comes when there's something that's exciting that they can report. You have the Don Lemons and all of CNN. They come there, and they, like I told you, they camp their trucks out, and they want to report all this nonsense. But they don't want to come and report the day-to-day things that are really going on in this neighborhood, in this area. The people are here. The people are thriving. The people are alive. So I felt really good. And that was the good part. But then you have the same ugly part. And this is where it really turned. As I continue to drive towards my sister's house, away from the area, I was driving down a major street, West Florissant, and I was coming across a traffic light. And the light was green, so I was coming across into a major intersection. And then I heard a siren, and I saw this SUV police car coming towards me on the right side on my driver, on my passenger side, in the opposite direction. And I guess he was trying to get by. Now, I'm not going to stop in the middle of an intersection. So I rolled my car to a stop once I got past the intersection. And I'm going to tell you, this young cop, and I'll never forget his face, he looked at me. And when I looked up after I stopped my car trying to figure out what he was doing and where he was going, because, mind you, he's coming with a siren on. No one knows exactly what he's trying to do. He's coming in one direction, then he's turning into the other direction. So I'm looking, trying to figure it out, and at the same time, I'm trying to put my car in a safe place to stop. Once I finally stop, and then he goes in front of me and turns and then goes in the direction that I'm coming from, he looks at me, and he calls me a name, and he puts his finger up. And I'm like, I know he didn't just do that to me. I know he did not just curse me out and put his finger up at me. So I continue to go on to the place that I needed to go. And I was there for like 15 minutes. And then I drove back in the direction that the officer was traveling, trying to find him, trying to find out what was so urgent that he had to get to, that he had to call me out of my name, because I'm trying to put my vehicle in a safe spot to move out of his way. But I never found him. I didn't see the name on the SUV. I didn't see any numbers on the SUV because it all happened so fast. But mind you, had I seen this information, I would have called the news media, and I would have told them, and I would have went to the police station, and I would have told them. Now, I wanted to call the police and ask them, was there an emergency at this particular time of day in this particular area, but I don't know which police to call, because I don't know if his vehicle said St. Louis County or if it said Ferguson, but it was a SUV. So these are the things that people talk about that the media doesn't want to continue to tell you that's still happening. All they want to do is tell you when a protester went into the store and caused ruckus or anything like that. But they don't want to tell you that the police are still acting the same way. The police here have not changed. They still think that they own the city. They still believe that when they drive in this car and they put on this uniform, that they have a right to just do whatever they want. They don't care if they're endangering lives or not. They just want to do what they want. Now, they'll tell you, oh, it's an emergency. Yes, if it's an emergency, I understand it, but you don't just drive your vehicle crazily into an intersection where people are and they don't know which direction you're going in. And they have to be able to stop their vehicle in a safe spot. And even if they don't stop in the spot that you want them to, that gives you no right to call them or name or put your finger up at them. This is the thing that the people see and feel when we have to sit here and hear people talk about these police officers and what great jobs they're doing. I'm telling you, I witnessed this, and this just really put a damper on my day as I drove through Ferguson. I started my day off very happy, driving all around, making the stops that I needed to stop to do some errands for my sister. And I was very pleased, like I said, with the people as they continued on with their days and as they tried to make the best of what they had. And then, lo and behold, almost at the end of my trip, I encounter the same thing that the people are upset about, the police officers disrespecting citizens, the police officers acting as if they are better or higher for some reason than the citizens who pay their salaries. So I'm here to tell you, it hasn't changed, and we know that it hasn't changed. We know that this situation, this problem that is here and it existing across the country, it's embedded. It's racism at its best. It is embedded in their brain. It is embedded. That is why they go and train and put on that uniform. It's not the uniform that's changing them. It's them that's wearing this uniform that's changing the whole concept. Or is it not? Was this concept of police in this country, was it created for this type of environment? Have we ever really studied and found out where did policemen come from? Why were they invented? What's the history of police in this country? And maybe they always were invented to have this attitude, to act like they're better, to act like they're the ones controlling us. So I'm here to tell you that we still need prayer here in Ferguson. We still need change. We still need the protesters. We still need a revolution. We still need justice because there is none. And until there's justice, we won't stop. Now, the other part of my show tonight, and if you have any questions or comments, please call me at 347-237-5247. 347-237-5247, and pray for me because I will not forget that officer's face. I can see it in my head right now. And if I ever see that officer again, I'm going to get his badge number or his truck number, and I'm going to report him. And that is what my right as a citizen is. Now, the second part is we're going to talk about Prosecutor McCullen. And as I said in my ad, will he finally learn what justice truly is all about? Now, if you've been watching the news, and that's another thing, the news here is totally different from the news that I get in Chicago. So you really have to be in St. Louis to get a lot of the information because the national media is not really telling it. It's not really keeping you abreast with the truth. Even though the local news stretches the truth a little bit, it still has more information than what I've seen in the national news. Now, we all know, well, I'm not sure if you do know, but one of the grand jurors decided to put a lawsuit against McCullen because they're saying that they failed to indict Officer Kilson in the shooting death of Michael Brown because Bob McCullen mischaracterized the case to ensure that the grand jury didn't choose to press charges against the officer. They felt that they were hoodwinked, and the grand jury now wants McCullen to pay. This juror is remaining anonymous, and he says that McCullen seems to present biased information during the grand jury hearing. Adding insult to injury, McCullen has frequently used the grand jurors as a shield against his own by pretending the grand jury was convinced of Wilson's innocence, and the decision was out of his hands. Given the fact that the law prohibits jurors from speaking out about the case, they couldn't fight back against that characterization. So now they're filing a lawsuit that will enable them to speak out publicly about what they experienced as a grand juror. So that's one problem that McCullen is facing. The other problem that McCullen is now facing is what we all knew was going to happen. I said it on my show. The state bar complaint filed against McCullen over the Ferguson grand jury, the St. Louis prosecuting attorney Bob McCullen's mishandling of Michael Brown's grand jury. Even though it has not been resulted in a federal action, but there has been a formal complaint to the Missouri State Bar for ethical violations committed by McCullen and his minions. And his minions are his assistant prosecutor's attorneys, Kathy Elizada and Sheila Worley. Now, I don't know who these two ladies were, but I plan on doing some research. And next week on the show, I'll let you know who they were Kathy Alizadeh and Sheila Worley. They claim that between the two of them and Bob McCullen, they violated 15 different rules of professional conduct. And you can look this up and find out all the different things that they violated. And this is important, you guys, and I'm going to give you some of the ones. Some of them said that presenting the grand jury with the legal instruction ruled unconstitutional for decades. Remember, they gave them some instructions that were written in 1979, and then they were taken back in 1985. So they gave them these instructions, and they didn't correct themselves until November when they were way into the deliberation. Number two, they mislabeling and misplacing evidence related to key witness Dorian Johnson. Now remember, Dorian was the key witness, and they mislabeled and misplaced some of his evidence. Also, they failed to provide the specific characters or specific charges to the jury after dumping on them thousands of pages of interviews and evidence that were going up, which was going above gross negligence. You know, they said that McCullen was going to try to feed them with so much information that it would overwhelm the jury, and they would not be able to really sort through it, and they would not be able to really understand what was truly going on. So, see, the State Bar Association has filed a claim. The grand juror has filed a claim, and that may not be the first grand juror that's going to file a claim. So there's a lot going on. People keep saying, you know, this is over. No, it's not over. It's just the beginning. And as I said earlier, when I told my niece when they read that there was not going to be an indictment and how we felt, that night I told her, I said, this is bigger than all of us. God has control over all of this. And when he does things, he does everything for reasons. And we knew that, no, it wasn't supposed to be the small fish Kilson, the officer that killed Michael Brown. It was supposed to be about McCullen, because he came out there with such arrogance, and he's been controlling this entire situation, acting as if the world is not watching, acting as if he can control everything, that his power will never be taken from him. Just because he controls this local power here in St. Louis, he acted as if no one else could do anything to him. He forgot that he is not on an island alone, but he got so drunk on power that he came out so cocky that day as he read that story for 20 minutes and stood there with a smirky smile on his face and said that there would be no indictment. But one thing he forgot. He forgot, as we say, to dot his I's and cross his T's. He hurried and released all the information to the media, even though the judge told him not to. He released all this information that was unheard of. He thought, oh, I'm going to let them know that the world's going to see that this juror could not indict this officer because he was not guilty. But one thing he forgot, the truth always rises to the top. The water always rises to the top. There's nowhere else for the water to go. There's nowhere else for the truth to go. And it's going to take time, but it's going to come out. And that is what I told my niece. And we know that by just stopping at the level of the officer that killed Michael Brown was not going to get total justice for the people in Ferguson. And it wasn't going to get total justice for Michael Brown, because, see, Michael Brown left behind family members. He left behind relatives. He left behind friends that still have to live amongst this injustice. So he did not die in vain, and he knew that he was not going to die in vain. So in order for justice to be served, we have to go all the way. People like McCullen have to be stopped, because he is the root of the problem here in Ferguson. He, along with the governor, along with other people, a part of the problem. So we have to get to the root. And when the root sits there and act like they are drunk on power, these are the moments that we wait on, because they never cross their T's or dot their I's, because they don't think they have to. So now McCullen is really going to get a taste of his own medicine. He's going to get a taste of how the system is going to work for justice. And let me see. I think I have a caller. We have like 6 minutes left. Let me see if I have a caller. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Happy New Year, Terry. It's Harriet. Just listening.
Oh, Happy New Year to you, Harriet. How are you?
Okay. Doing well. Doing well.
That's good. Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Well, how do you feel about these new things that's going on with McClellan and how he's going to have to answer to these charges?
Honestly, I really haven't been paying attention to it.
Oh, wow.
I decided to enjoy my holiday and not pay attention to what was going on around me because I didn't want to be depressed. And, I'll catch up with it because, you know, it's just an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to tune into you late, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was talking about that, and I was talking about my, I don't know if you heard what part you heard, but I was, earlier in the show, I was talking about the experience I had with a police officer the other day here in Ferguson.
What?
Yeah, I was driving, and he was coming through traffic, and he turned the siren on, and I guess I didn't move in the manner in which he wanted me to, and he cursed at me and put his finger up as he continued to drive off.
Uh-uh.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I will never forget that face, Harriet, never. I can see it right now. And, you know, it's sad because, as I was saying earlier, I was driving through Ferguson, and I was having a great experience as I watched the people continue with their lives, and I went to one of the businesses, and they were helpful to me. And it was a good thing. And then the ugly happened. And people don't understand how real it is, how these police really treat people for no reason.
That's true.
It's just sad, Harriet. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And as I said, it's not the uniform. It's the people in the uniform.
Yeah.
You know, they are that way before they even put that uniform on. They put the uniform on because they want to hide behind it, just as we know what they do behind those hoods for years. Those white hoods, they hide behind them. And these people...
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. They get up out of the bed with this attitude, and it's sad. It's really sad. And, you know, it's wrong, and it's ugly. So I was talking about that and just talking about, you know, the things that are happening because the media, the national media, as I watch them, they don't mention anything about these charges against McClellan, and they're not going to.
No, they're not going to. Mm-mm.
No, but if it was Michael Brown's stepfather doing something or his mother doing something, they would blast that all over the tube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let one of them, you know, say something or do something. Then it's going to be national news, and it's not even going to be worth it. But here's something that, seriously, you know, that's serious when the state bar files a charge against you. That's serious.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very newsworthy. But, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Because I'm going to keep telling the truth every week. I'm going to sit here every week, and I'm going to tell the truth. And I'm going to speak, you know, what's really going on. So I appreciate you calling, and I hope you have a prosperous and blessed new year.
And same to you.
Okay, and we'll be talking again next week, Harriet.
All right.
You take care.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the clock is counting me down, you guys, but I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad you're out there listening, and I'm glad to be bringing you the truth, what I'm led to do as I continue to be God's vessel. And as I say every week, John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So until next week, stay true. And be blessed. And thank you guys again, and Happy New Year's to all of you.
Our Lord, grant us good in this world and good in the life to come keep us safe from the torment of the fire. As we keep our hands up high and scream for justice. Ferguson, rest in peace, Mike Brown, and all the young soldiers out there. God help us.
Our future, like we are that shot, we are that shot. Throwing up our hands, don't let them shoot us. Cause we are, we got, we are, we got. God ain't on the earth to get mad, it's murder. God ain't put us on the earth to get mad, it's murder.